everyone, and welcome to the Indie Film Review with me, Dan, as always. And, of course, my pal Jared. He's over there. Say hi, Jared.
Hi, Jared!
Podcasting isn't a visual medium, but I am, in fact, a ventriloquist, and I'm trying to make it in the world of podcasting.
Yeah. Dan actually has his arm, like, right up my ass, and he's controlling me. I can't wait to do the podcast!
I'm sure you're very glad that you submitted your film to us.
That's right. We're professionals. Let's go through our qualifications. Dan actually has a qualification.
Yes, I earned my master's degree in film studies, but, I mean, who really cares about that? I mean, yeah. I graduated and the world's like, so fucking what, bro?
What have you done for me lately? Yeah, and I've graduated with a master's degree in being a doof. And that's something, right?
Like, I think that is something. There is an art to your doofiness, actually,
I believe. Yeah.
That's why I stick around you, because I can't get away from the doof.
The doof is loose.
The doof.
Who let the doof out? It was me. Spoilers. So thank you all for joining us. We like to review independent films here. This is what we do. And we will do that with a film called Just Say Goodbye is the film we're going to review. But first, before we do that, I'd like to get into a brand new segment I just surprised Dan with off air about. I told him we're going to do this, called Emails. Yay!
Emails!
Yeah. So, I mean, we just have so many fans, Dan.
We do have a lot of fans. We have a lot of people submitting. We have a pretty sizable email inbox.
And we get a lot of emails, and I just wanted to highlight one of our really touching email I got from a fan of ours, and I thought it would just be fun to share it with you on the podcast.
I didn't get this email.
That's because as soon as I got it, I immediately copied it and then deleted it so you couldn't read it because I'm nefarious. So here it is. This is from Miss Susan Jones.
Oh,
hello, dear. I am really sorry to send this message to you. My name is Miss Susan Jones from Solomon Islands near Australia. Okay, I am married to Mr. David Jones from Kuwait, who worked with Kuwait Embassy here in Ivory Coast for 9 years before he died in the year 2015. We are married for 24 years without a child. He died after a brief illness that lasted only 4 days.
All right.
I am suffering from cancer. Oh, this is getting sad. Of the blood, and the doctors have concluded I will not survive. Oh boy, this is really sad. Anyways, before the death of my late husband, we were both born again Christian. Okay, yada yada yada. Da, 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 da. While my husband was late, he deposited a sum of $3,500,000 with a bank here in Côte d'Ivoire. Presently, this money is still in that bank.
Oh,
this is interesting. Therefore, based on my health condition, I would appreciate that you use my wealth to support and help the orphanage, the poor, and widow around the world. Wow. So, I mean, I could go on and on about this, but in summation, Dan, we are going to receive $3,500,000.
That is so thoughtful of a dying person.
From our dying listener. Isn't that nice?
Who had a husband that also died mysteriously after 4 days.
Contact me, and any delay in your reply, I will give me room in searching another church, organization, or good person to help with this cause. Sincerely yours, Mrs. Susan Jones. Wow.
All right, here we go. Dear Mrs. Jones, I'm sorry about your late husband. He seemed like a swell person. We will gladly accept your gracious contribution of $3,500,000 to be wired directly into our Swedish bank account. I opened it up without Jared's knowledge whenever I realized that the podcast could make some money. Sincerely yours, Dan.
Warmest regards. Oh, so you've been fucking sneaking around behind my back, huh? Okay.
All that Bitcoin.
So, like, thank you, Susan. We really appreciate it.
I like how we're just thinking.
It's funny because, like, we actually do get emails. And we actually do get, like, a lot of really good submissions. And this is the email I choose to read on the podcast. Good job, me. Anyways, let's cover Just Say Goodbye, Dan.
Yeah, let's cover Just Say Goodbye, Jared. I think I'm ready for it.
Get hype.
My body is ready.
Who sent us this film? This is the question.
Let me find it. It was sent to us by Layla O'Shea, I believe is how you pronounce her name, and she is the screenwriter for this film. Tell us who directed that shit.
I can do that. Matt Walting. Apparently he was 18 years old when he directed this.
Yeah, and he won awards for it. So, for a directorial debut, I'm going to go off and say that this was pretty damn good movie.
I think so. And I don't know what the budget is on this film. Let's see if I can find it here.
I would assume it's micro-budget. It feels,
it's got to be micro-budget.
It feels micro-budget.
It's got to be micro-budget.
I wonder what camera they used, because the camera was really good. I was a huge fan of how the camera looked and what the camera did. Like, the cinematography was pretty on point.
I have mixed feelings about this film, and we will get into
Interesting.
It. But before we do that, Dan, could you please give us our 30-second elevator pitch on Just Say
Sure.
Goodbye?
Sure. So basically, it's your, I don't want to call it a run-of-the-mill bully story, but it's about this kid who gets bullied, and before it gets cliche, the story gets really fucking deep.
Yeah, the story goes...
So, like, you're like, oh, real I'm crazy. Watching it like, oh, I've seen this film before. I've seen it millions of times. Uh-huh. I've seen after school yeah. specials. Like, come on. And yeah. then it just, out of nowhere, decides to be like, no, this is hardcore shit. And it makes mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. feel things that you were not wanting to feel. This is one of those movies that makes me feel like garbage. Because it's hard to, like, it's a white bummer movie. It's very hard to watch.
And you love feeling like garbage.
I do. I love feeling like garbage. And this made me cringe in certain areas. I'm like, Jesus, fuck.
Yeah. There's some hit the brakes, what the fuck
yeah.
moments. Where I was like, damn, what the fuck? Ah, whoa. But the issue, the movie felt way too long.
Now, I feel the length of the movie, but that is not necessarily what bothered me about it. There were a couple moments in the film that I felt were out of sequence, I guess. Like, the editing felt like they put in something that should have, like, was in the past, and I had no idea that it was a flashback, and then it just cuts right back
yes.
to normal time. And I'm like, what uh-huh. just happened? And that was the only time that I felt, like, outside of the movie. I'm like, wait, what? But everything else about it, I feel like the writing in this film, it's what you go watch the movie for. Like, the writing in this film is superb. It hits you with things that you do not expect, that you haven't seen, and that are awful. You cannot believe that this stuff is happening in front of you on screen, and you want dearly to do something about it, but you can't. And I feel like that was the mission behind this movie. Because at
yes.
the very end, you get a title card that says the National Suicide Hotline is this. And what probably is the best part about this movie is it's not preachy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it tackles
that
a very
true.
Serious topic, and it doesn't bang you over the head with it.
I just feel like the first 30 minutes of this film could have been cut down to 10 minutes. Because that first 30 minutes for me, I was really struggling. And then after the 30 minutes, when you finally get into the premise of what's going on, it gets way better. Because the main crux of the story is we have this kid Peterson who is getting bullied. And also he's getting bullied by this kid Chase, who's like a stereotypical bully at school. And he's also getting bullied by his own dad, his own alcoholic dad. And his mom had committed suicide when he was younger. So he's got to deal with that. And it's just like he's getting bullied at home and at school. And just he's not getting it good from anyone. He has no friends except for this one girl who's his friend.
Yeah, Sarah.
And she only sees him as like a brother or like a really good friend. So he kind of feels basically alone except for her. And he doesn't really see like there's any other escape. So he decides in a few weeks, I'm going to commit suicide.
Which puts a damper on her plans because she's trying to go to New York with her dad.
Yes. And now she's like, well, I can't leave now because you're trying to do this. So the rest of the movie is her trying to convince him and like them talking about suicide and trying to convince him to not do it. And that's the best part of the film. Like, all of that is really good.
And what's fucking crazy,
those first 30 minutes
is
yeah, go ahead.
What's crazy is this film felt so realistic. Because, you know, you might ask the question, like, why doesn't she call a hotline? And he answers her, like, if you call hotline, I'm just going to do it faster. But teenagers are in the realm of trying to figure out life out for themselves, and they're trying to discover themselves, and they're unsure about everything. And this girl is basically given this death sentence for her best friend, and she doesn't know what to do with it. And I feel like the trajectory that she takes is the most realistic thing about the film. Every reaction that she has to everything, like everything that she's, every conflict she's presented with her dad, with her mom, she felt like a very real character. So even though the film was about this event, I feel like we were supposed to identify with her as the main character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because she had all the best ideas. She's like, listen, this isn't going to last forever. Like, you're going to go away. You can leave. Like, this isn't going to be your whole life. It's shitty right now, but it actually gets better later on if you just keep going. He's like, no, I got to check out. I want to see those flowers bloom one last time, and then I'm going to take my life. And it gets pretty emotional, pretty messed up. There are some other things, because it seems like the movie resolves itself. Like, it seems like, oh, okay, we hit a climax and that was it. But then I look and there's like 25 minutes of the film left. I'm like, what the hell is the rest of this movie going to be about?
Oh my God. The last 20 minutes of this movie are absolutely insane. We come to a conclusion. We come to this faux resolution. And then all of a sudden, they just take away the you know, whenever you pull a tablecloth really fast and it leaves all the plates there?
Yes.
This person knew that all the plates were going to fall and they pulled it anyway.
See, what I like to do is super glue all the plates to the tablecloth.
Just comes with the whole tablecloth. Basically, what I'm trying to say is Layla O'Shea, fantastic work. Probably one of the better written movies I've seen in a while.
I do like how pretty nuts this film gets. I will say the dad gets a little cartoonish. I'll definitely explain. That dad is the worst. He's such an asshole.
I will be devil's advocate, or Daniel's advocate, Danny's advocate. I don't necessarily want to call it a criticism because it didn't bother me too much, but the dad is a fucking cartoon character. Take all of the villains of any cartoon ever and put it into one person. Like, he's bad for the sake of being bad. And
like that chase bully is more believable than the dad. Because you're like, what the fuck is going on with this? I mean, they explain it kind of why he's such an asshole to his son. And it makes sense, but I'm like, man, you're going to keep this up for like this long?
Well, should we start spoiling it?
Let's do some questions, I guess, before we do that. At least one question each, because we kind of like glossed right over that.
Okay. You start with your question, because I'm going to do something crazy with my question.
How did you feel about the chemistry between the two leads, Chase and Sarah?
I liked it a lot. The acting in this movie was pretty on point. It was believable. It might be why I got so emotionally involved in the characters.
Katarina Eisenberger and Max McKenzie. Both of them are actually like in a bunch of other films. Then you go look at that Chase Gibbons, and this is his only film. And I can see why. I gotta say, I'm talking about one specific scene where Sarah goes to visit him at his house.
Oh yeah, that scene. Okay.
That, like, any other time he was doing pretty good, and then at that one scene I was like, I just got reminded I was watching a film.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, you took me right
out
of it.
That makes sense. All right. Jared, here's my question.
Okay, yeah.
Spoiler alert. We're getting into spoilers with my question. Were you expecting Jesse to kill himself?
No.
No, I wasn't either. And guess what, guys? Not. He fucking kills himself. He spends the whole time plotting, then his life turns around like 180, and everything is fine. And then in 10 minutes, that all goes away, and he's lower than he ever has been through his dad. It was phenomenal.
That feels like what depression is, too. I mean, that's how quick depression can get people, too.
Clinical depression takes you down there, and like it no matter how happy you can feel just hopeless and helpless, and it's awful. I've gone through many bouts of it myself, and just watching the climax, like the real climax, not the faux climax, watching that unfold on camera, oh my God. It was rough. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad for that kid. So bad. So let's start talking about these things. These scenes.
These things. These
things.
So let's talk about certain scenes.
Right.
From the film.
So
Dan.
Let's talk about why he was. How many times can we say, so let's talk about?
So let's talk about. No, Dan. Let's not talk about. Let's talk about. Let's talk about.
Let's talk. Okay, now seriously.
Let's talk.
We are going
about.
To talk about something. His mother apparently committed suicide because his dad cheated on her with a neighbor lady. And that neighbor lady
Mama.
Gave birth to Chase, who is now Jesse's bully.
Yeah, holy shit. It's his fucking half-brother. And the dad let his own son think that it was his fault that his mom committed suicide for his entire life.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to bring up, I'm
instead
glad
of the
I remembered
real
it.
Reason.
So we've talked about how much of a tool this dad guy is, and we're going to continue to talk about how much of a fucked up asshole this dad is. And he is, like we said, a cartoon character, but at the same time, you know for a fact that this character was inspired by real life events. Like, there are people in the world. And
there
it,
are.
It drove me nuts just thinking about it.
Absolutely. Especially when they're alcoholics.
By the way, watch this film. Support this film. This film is fantastic.
It's Just Say Goodbye. We got it on Amazon.
Yes.
So go find it on Amazon. You can check it out there. Man, because Chase is like a classic bully, you know? He's got like the cool car and he's rich and he's untouchable and he's like the pop collar type of jock that he's a jerk to Peterson because he is friends with Sarah and he wanted to date Sarah when he was younger or whatever. Which so I kind of liked how they actually gave him real motivation to really hate.
And it didn't take that long to explain it. Like it wasn't a throwaway. It wasn't a throwaway line, but it was just like, it was a simple explanation and you're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. It just makes me think of like, people do have like teenagers who they just get bullied because you have a shitty home life.
Mm-hmm.
No one's taking care of you there. Then you bring yourself into an environment where you're surrounded by your peers. And let's say, I don't know, maybe your mom is too drunk to wash your clothes. And now you're the stinky kid at school. You know, like anything. Well, everything keeps spiraling downwards.
I have personal experience.
You just
experience
get worse
with
and
this.
Worse.
So I am a high school teacher. And I just had something happen to me this week that maybe that's another reason why I felt so touched by this film. But I had this kid, like, just my seventh period class, they're fucking, oh my God, they piss me off so much. But I like them. They all have individual personalities that are all fantastic. But whenever you get them together, they just won't stop doing shit. So I was so angry one day this week. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pull you all out. And I'm going to be like, you, come here. And then I took them out and I just laid into them in private. And I'm like, you need to stop. And I was just being an asshole to these kids because they're an asshole to me every goddamn day. Anyway, I did that. And 10 minutes later, I felt so bad about it that I apologized to each one of them. And then I went to one kid. And he's like, yeah, I'm just having a hard time at home. I'm like, I know you're having a hard time at home. I don't know what you're having a hard time with. But I know that I shouldn't be a jerk to you because I don't know what your home life's like.
Man, wow. Dan getting real. This is new Dan's new segment, Dan Gets Real.
Yeah, and I felt like so bad that entire, like, I'm just now getting over it. This happened Wednesday, and I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It was, my job gets, you have to deal with 180 little personalities that probably don't have good home lives. And you just have to understand that. And sometimes you lose sight of that, and then you blow up at them like I did that day. And it's a nasty
and hey
thing.
Who knows, one of those could actually be your son or
exactly
your daughter. You don't know. Yeah, and that's why you need to treat them like the cool teach. So what does cool teach do? Cool teach, he comes, he sits with the kids, he goes, hey kids, what's going on, are we smoking cigarettes? And then, you know, like he has like a candy cigarette in his mouth, and then he has the baseball cap on, but it's turned backwards, you know. It's like a cool teacher, and he likes to sit in the chairs. Oh, how does he sit in them? Not regular, he sits in them backwards. That's right, because he's relatable.
He
he's
leans
cool
up on you, gets really close to you. Hey,
he
buddy
goes, hey, gang, anything off the chain happen today? And you're like relating. You're having fun. You're like, that's on fleek. And then you like wiggle your eyebrows.
I still say that's on fleek.
Yeah, it's like, what a cool.
I say it, that's on fleek. I refuse to let that phrase die. So I bring it up at least once a month. And my kids are like, that word is so old. Like, what are you even talking about? It's so funny.
I love just assaulting young kids with dad jokes. That sounds really funny to me. Now just sneak in the word Fortnite in that, and you're there, dude. You're there.
Oh, Fortnite.
Do kids play Fortnite in your class?
Oh, yes.
Like, in class?
In class.
Because they can play it on their phone.
Yeah, I know. In class, they play it. It's fucking
what a
ridiculous.
Fucking nightmare.
It's awful.
Fucking Fortnite.
Fortnite has kind of died, but they still are on their phones constantly, 24/7. It's ridiculous.
Man. Oh.
But let's get back into this movie.
Yes, yes, yes. So I want to talk about certain scenes in this film that I liked a lot. One very interesting scene to me that I was like, whoa, was Sarah's trying to figure out how to get Peterson to not kill himself, right? She's trying to go through all the motions of different things. She tries suicide prevention hotline. She tries counseling. She tries talking him through it, telling him, you know, his life's going to get better. He's like, listen, I've already made up my mind, blah, blah, blah. So she gets him in her room and she's like, I will have sex with you right now if you promise me you will not kill yourself. And I was like, whoa. And then it gets into this thing of like, he wants this, but he's like, you're not doing this because you're in love with me, though. You're only doing this to save my life, because they've already established that he's really just like a brother to her.
Can I
And then
be
they have this kiss
honest?
And it's like a passionate,
yeah, it is a passionate
kiss. And I was like, whoa. Oh, go ahead. Yes.
So that scene reminded me of another scene in a different movie that has a more watered-down exchange. But Lake Placid does that, too. Where
Lake Placid?
Yeah, the alligator movie.
Is that the alligator movie? Oh, my God.
The helicopter pilot's like, I gotta do it. It's the only way. And the lady's trying to talk him out of it. She's like, I'll have sex with you. That's what made me think of. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. You were analyzing that scene, and I just took it from you, and yep, I shit all over it, and I gave it back to you.
Like
I'm
a
like,
gator. You grabbed it with your jaws, and you just started spinning in a death circle. Dan, was there one more scene you wanted to talk about?
Absolutely. So the resolution that we keep alluding to in this film is he is a good artist. You see him throughout the entire film just drawing things. And his art teacher sees his work and basically sends it off to NYU. And NYU's like, we want to see this kid's portfolio. And she gets excited for the kid. She calls the kid. And Jesse's like, are you serious? This is awesome. And it completely changes everything. And he stops his plan. And he tells Sarah. Sarah goes on her trip. She doesn't feel guilty about it. Then Jesse had been sneaking into Dad's safe box throughout the entire movie because that's where he found the gun. Dad catches Jesse because he doesn't put the things in the correct order.
Yes.
And Dad finds all of Jesse's drawings and throws them in a fire pit and lights them on
fire. This is where it's like cartoonish that this is how the dad is going to punish his son by burning all of his fucking... I was like, this is fucked up,
This is
man.
Extremely fucked up.
This evil, like, mustache-twirling motherfucker. So, literally, the dad is solely responsible for getting his son killed in this moment.
And then...
now he's like, oh, now I have nothing to live for. I'm gonna die.
So, son takes that moment, kills himself. Sarah can't get back in time. She calls her dad, or his dad, at a bar. And then the dad's like, oh shit, I better take this seriously. Dad doesn't get home in time. Dad's a piece of shit. Doesn't deserve anything. And he's written out in probably one of the most genius ways possible. So at this kid's funeral, Sarah's there and Sarah's leaving. And as Sarah's leaving, Jesse's dad is trying to get her attention. And he's like, hey. And she's like, finally, what do you want? I don't want to fucking talk to you. You're an asshole. And he's like, I realize how much of a friend you are to him, and I've turned my life around, and I want to make it up to you. Please come to my wedding. Wait, no, he doesn't say that then.
No, you got it confused. So when he confronts her at the funeral, he's basically like, hey, I don't want you to blame yourself for Peterson's death. And she's like, why would I?
Right.
He's like, well, you knew about that he was going to commit suicide weeks in advance, and you could have done something about it. And basically she tells him off, and you know they have a fight, and then years later,
that's what it is. Oh, he sends her a letter,
and there's like framed photographs of some of the stuff that he did right before he died, and he's like, listen, I remarried, I stopped drinking.
No, he hasn't remarried yet. He's about to get married, and he invites her to the wedding.
What a piece of shit!
And she throws the wedding invitation away, and you're like, fucking thank God. Thank God she throws that away. And then she has a voiceover narration. And just when you think that the movie's over, her voiceover narration ends on a positive note. And she writes on her calendar, Frank's wedding or whatever. So she is going to go to that guy's wedding.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Huh? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a stroke of genius because it lets you believe that this guy is not getting redeemed. And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger person at the very last second. And she redeems
it. Whoa. Man, I don't think she should go.
I don't think she should either. But it was I was not expecting that. It's like this film has nuances and little twists and turns that let you experience so many emotions throughout. And that's why I think the writing is the best I've had in a while.
This is an enjoyable movie. Final thoughts. I had a good time with it. I struggled a lot in the beginning. The first 30 minutes leading up to it, because we're trying to get to know the two characters before we get into the actual plot. But the film can suffer at times from showing us unnecessary things we don't need to see. Like when it had the flash with the little kid, like the little kid comes home, he goes to the fridge, he takes a glass, he pours the milk. It's like, you don't have to show me all this stuff. And there was a lot of that in the beginning and it was kind of driving me crazy. But then once the real plot starts, it gets so much better. Once you get into it, it's great. So I just think just trim the fat a little bit. And this film is grazie. But go ahead, Dan. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, like, I can see what you're talking about, but that didn't bother me as much as other indie films do. This film is taking on a serious subject in a very realistic way. It's a rough watch, but I feel like it's well worth it. And it's probably one of the better films for getting a point across. Like, having a direct message. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hit you over the head. It's probably one of those films that it's the best one of those films I've ever seen.
They should probably show this film in like school.
Yeah,
or
they
something.
Should.
To kids. And be like, hey, check this out.
Yeah. I would want to show it to my kids.
Hey,
for
kids.
Sure.
Man, we've been covering a lot of like heavy movies lately, haven't we?
Good thing next week is going to be an acid Western.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of heavy topics in that one. Like how to wrangle cows while you're on acid, right?
I hope that's what it is. I think that's what an acid western is.
These cows are made of
eyeballs. We have to save these jokes for next week.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Let's do some plugs.
You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We are on Podbean. We are on Apple Podcast. We are on Stitcher. We are on Spotify.
We're on like basically anything you can think of.
Get us.
We're there. Just search.
Get us and get out.
If you're telling other people about the show, which you should do, and I appreciate that you do that, have them search Indie Film Review Podcast and you will find our show very quickly. So you don't even have to like give the site or anything. Just write in the Google Indie Film Review Podcast. Boom, there we are. Thank you everyone for listening. I appreciate it. We are hosted on Necropodicon.com. If you go to Necropodicon.com, you can join. There's a little link. You can click the Discord and come talk with us. You know, we have a lot of fun on the Discord. We're always dicking around and
I was talking about how I was gonna something about a butt. I don't remember.
Yeah, Dan talks about butt stuff. It's really great. But yeah, check out Necropodicon. A lot of really good podcasts there. And Dan, you have the final word.
Dear Mrs. Susan Sarandon, if you would please offer me $5 million because I confused your name with the woman who I got a different email from, that would be great. I loved you in Bull Durham. and that other film that you were in. Have a nice day.
Gosh dang it.
What is it, Filson?
Well, Tommy, I just got done listening to the Role Playing Guys podcast.
And?
It was painfully informative. All they do is talk about games I've never heard of.
What do you mean?
Well, every season they take a new TTRPG and they playtest it. Like I just listened to the season where they play Corporia.
Oh, you mean the awesome cyberpunk game set in the corporate-controlled future?
Yeah, that's the one. Ugh, and they also played this game called Numenera.
That's the one about the post-apocalyptic future where a ton of knowledge has been lost, but ancient technology is being found, right?
Yes, and Wrath and Glory, have you ever heard of that?
Of course, I love Warhammer 40k.
Jeez, you sure know a lot of these games.
I sure do, but I haven't had the time, and my adventuring party hates testing out new games.
I guess you might like the show. All I know is I'm tired of learning all these new games.
Thanks, I'll have to check them out.
If Tommy sounds like you, a passionate game lover looking for the next game to try out, you are sure to love the Role Playing Guys podcast. Every week they come out with a new episode, and every season it's a new game. They test out new games so you don't have to. If you sound more like Filson, stay as far away from this podcast as possible. You might inadvertently come across a new game that you'll love, and you'll have to learn all about it. The Role Playing Guys is a Necropodicon show.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.